Well, good morning. Everybody still doing all right? Good. I just wanted to say, I think that was the best singing I've heard in my 5 years here. So, good job. Y'all did a phenomenal job. It really does bless my heart. I know many of the people here blesses their heart to hear your voices lifted up in song. So I do greatly appreciate that, and thank you for worshiping with us this morning. I will kind of give you a disclaimer up front. If you happen to start smelling the smell of chicken wafting this way, stay focused. We're here right now. Lunch will happen in a little bit. I know there's some amazing food back there. The ladies prepare an amazing meal, but I'm excited for the time that we have this morning to celebrate what God has done in this church for 90 years, which is a feat that not many churches reach nowadays. And so I am really excited about that. This morning, we're going to have a little bit different message set up. I cleared it with the ladies, so I'm not going to get in trouble. But we're going to have a little bit different setup. We're going to have three portions of this message. First, we're going to look at a brief history of Waleska First Baptist Church. Then we're going to look at a time of encouragement and testimony from members past, present, and some of our newer members. And then you're going to get a sermon from me. So I promise the sermon won't be as long as most sermons because I know we do have lunch waiting on us, but I'm excited to kind of take this three-step approach to looking at homecoming and what God has done in Waleska over the last 90 years. Now, the short history that we have gathered together was put together by one of our deacons, Clint, as well as with the help with Miss Ruby Smith, helped him put this history together in written form so that we have a glimpse. Again, it's not everything, but it's an aerial glimpse of Waleska First Baptist over the last 90 years. And so when I realized that they had that, I snagged it, and I said I wanted to give each and every person here, because some of us, including myself, don't know some of this. And so on our 90th homecoming this morning, we're going to take a minute and read through a short history of Waleska First Baptist. So if you want to, just join and listen as we read through this history. It says, 90 years ago, in 1934, our country was striving to recover from what history has called the Great Depression. A pound of potatoes cost a penny. A loaf of bread cost 50 cents. A quart of milk cost 10 cents. A pound of bacon was 22 cents. A pound of coffee was 26 cents. And a pound of butter cost 28 cents. Franklin D. Roosevelt was in the White House, and Adolf Hitler was seizing power in Germany. But here in Waleska, Georgia, on the 19th day of August, 1934, 44 Baptist Christians, 28 women, 16 men, became charter members of the newly formed Waleska Baptist Church of Christ. 19 family names included Teague, Pittman, Stansel, Henderson, Cable, Owen and Owens, Cook and Cook with an E, Couch, Puckett, Klein, Gray, Bearden, Cagle, McKay. The newly formed church adopted the Articles of Faith of the Pleasant Valley Association and joined the Jasper Baptist Association in September of 1934. In March of 1939, the church helped form the Marble Valley Association at Cool Springs in Tate, Georgia. The first church building was bought as an abandoned structure that was built by Universalists in the mid-1920s. It was basically only a chapel, but it served for 18 years. There became a recognition that diving and driving need for Sunday school classes and rooms. In 1951, the southeast corner lot of Waleska Crossroads was purchased from Dr. R.M. Moore. On the 24th of August, 1952, the first service was held in the new church building. Messengers from several missionary Baptist churches of Pickens and Cherokee counties met together on October 1960 at Waleska First Baptist Church to plan a new association of missionary Baptist churches in this area. The name of this organization became the Etowah Baptist Association, of which Waleska is one of the 34 church members. God continued to bless, and in 2004, the church recognized the need for more Sunday school rooms, increased parking, and a larger sanctuary. A building committee was formed in 2006, and the resulting purchase of acreage and then construction of the facility in which we are worshiping today was done. It was in 2008, 16 years ago. Psalms 127:1 reads, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders build in vain." Over the last 90 years, there have been 23 pastors that have led and shepherded Waleska First Baptist congregation. These men are listed here, and if you would like to see them, I will show them to you afterwards. But some of the names I'm not going to pronounce right, so I don't want to butcher them too bad. The first one in 1934 was Reverend R. Richards. And then later on, we had Reverend J.R. Huddleston, which was actually our longest serving pastor with 20 years of service here at Waleska First Baptist. And then most recently, we've had some memorable names that some of you may remember. Herman Williams, Reuben Smith, Aaron Land, Doug Metzger, Bill Perkins, myself, and Nick Richardson, who left us a few short months ago. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1, said, the Apostle Paul states it this way, "Now we know that the earthly tent we live in is destroyed. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." The second verse goes on to read, "Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed in our heavenly dwelling." Some of our most favorite hymns include phrases like, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. God has set eternity in our hearts." And no matter how comfortable we may be in this world, as Christians, our heart are continually drawing us homeward and heavenward. We live in a time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. We are to be watchful and be ready. This history was put together, like I said, by Clint, one of our deacons, as well as Miss Ruby. And so I just wanted to say thank you to them for putting that glimpse of Waleska First Baptist on paper so that people for years and years to come will know what Waleska First Baptist stood for 90 years ago and here today. So like I said, this morning is going to be a little different. We have some video clips for you that I have put together over the last several weeks of members of this church, as well as some past members and a former pastor, to encourage you. I wanted to hear from them what Waleska First Baptist had meant to them over the last 90 years. And some of you may recognize the first video. It is actually a video that was filmed last year for homecoming by our pastor at the time, Nick Richardson, with Miss Ruby Smith, who helped put together this history. And she's one of our longest standing members of Waleska First Baptist Church. And so I wanted to replay that video again this year because I know everyone was blessed by it last year. And I didn't think I could do it any better this year. So we're going to replay it. So you're going to hear Nick's voice in there. Don't let it bother you. Just listen to the heart that Miss Ruby has for Waleska First Baptist Church. And then our second video, we're going to do two at a time. It's going to be from Lamar and Janice Barton, who have also been a member of Waleska First Baptist Church for a very long time. And so I thoroughly enjoyed getting the opportunity to talk with them and hear their stories about Waleska First Baptist in their life. So, Tom, if you're ready, we're going to hit the videos. Y'all enjoy it, and then we'll keep talking.
It's the most important thing in my life, other than my family. It really is, because that's what I've always done in my life. I just always went to church and enjoy it. And I always want to be a part of it and also see some results from it, being a member.
You want to see it get better now.
Oh, do I ever. Well, I'd like to see it grow, because if it grows, then we'll have more workers to do God's plans for us. Mm-hmm. And because now, I don't mean a great church, but I mean one that we can do more for the Lord. Love the Lord for one thing. We don't have any glimpse of what 50 years is going to be.
No, we don't.
Because things have changed so fast. We're not the good all the time.
That's right.
And so, just love the Lord and do His work. It's the only thing I know to say to Him. And try to enjoy doing it. Getting a blessing out of it.
I'm Janice Barton, and I've been a member for 73 years of Waleska First Baptist. There was a time that when we first married, that we moved our membership to Woodstock First Baptist. But when we moved back to this area in 1975, we brought our membership back. He's been a member of the church since 1961. Well, it's the original Baptist church when we would have Sunday school. We didn't have Sunday school classrooms, but we would have Sunday school in the cemetery and sit on the tombstones there. And I remember that as a young child. One of the first memories of the church on the corner was when my daddy, Dudley Blaylock, would lead singing sometimes. And then I remember that our church grew, so we didn't have room, we didn't have space for all the people that were coming to church. And that's when we decided to build a new church. One of the strangest memories is before we got air conditioning at the church on the corner, we always had the windows open and the doors open to try to keep cool. And we were having revival. And during the sermon, this cat came wandering in and down the aisle. A deacon named Weldon Owen was sitting on the pew next to the aisle. He reached out and grabbed the cat and threw it all the way across the pew out the window. Well, just do what the Lord has instructs you. You have to sometimes be quiet and listen and pay attention to the older people in the church that might have some advice for you. and walk daily with the Lord.
Well, my advice is when you come into the house of the Lord, pay attention. Pay attention to what the preacher's saying. And sometimes you don't have to pay attention to what the preacher's saying. You got to pay attention to what everybody else is saying, because that will give you insight to what's going on all here and wherever that it might be.
Well, we remember a lot of homecomings, and I know this one's going to be special.
I loved doing those interviews. It was absolutely the best. I loved hearing the stories from Janice and Lamar about throwing a cat out the window in the middle of revival. It brings a smile to your face. And then the last thing that Miss Ruby stated in her video, love the Lord, do His work, and enjoy doing it. What a profound, bold statement. We have a rich history right here in Waleska and the surrounding communities. Many times church becomes a checklist item for people within our congregation. And joy is removed from serving the Lord. May we once again as a church and as believers enjoy serving the Lord Jesus Christ while working inside of His church. This is one reason that I absolutely love hearing the stories from people. Their favorite memories is how I phrased it. And again, I love the story about Janice telling us about the cat being thrown out the window in the middle of revival. Because, guys, that's real life church. That's no flashing lights. That's nothing fancy. That's just doing life with one another. And the fact that the ability to laugh and have fun with people within our church while serving the Lord has dissipated and moved away, that's a shame, because we need to be able to enjoy doing ministry with one another, enjoy doing the Lord's work and loving the Lord together. Our next two videos that I have is one from former lead pastor Aaron Land, and as well as the Chadwick family. A personal note, Aaron Land was the pastor that brought me on staff here at Waleska First Baptist. So when I reached out to him, I was super glad that he was willing to send us a clip for homecoming. So I hope you guys enjoy these videos as much as I did.
Good morning, Waleska First Baptist Church. Happy homecoming. I hope that you're all doing well. Waleska First Baptist Church has always had a special place in my heart. It has a special place in the hearts of my wife, our kids. We love you guys so much. There are so many special memories that I can think of. And most of those memories are just the relationships that we were able to build during the 7 years that we spent in Waleska, time over dinner or lunch in your home, spending time with you. I also, every time that we get to this point in the year, I think about those trips that we would take with the rowdy widows of Waleska up to the Apple Houses. Those were great memories, great times that we got to spend together. And then I always enjoyed our Wednesday evenings together. Just time fellowshipping with one another, studying God's Word. Those were such special and sweet times that we got to spend together. Something that you might not know is that ever since I became a pastor, every baby that I've dedicated, every person that I've baptized, every wedding that I've performed, every funeral that I've overseen, I write every one of those names down in my Bible. Every single name. Many of your names, many of your loved ones who have already gone on to be with Jesus, those names are written in my Bible, and I carry them with me every single day. Many of your names. And every day when I open up my Bible and I see those lists of names there, I pray for them. I pray for you. You're in my prayers constantly. And my prayer and my hope for you as a church is that Waleska will continue to fulfill the Great Commission there in your own community, throughout Cherokee County, and throughout the world. So thank you, guys. We love you. We hope you have a great homecoming Sunday.
Well, I'd have to say, first of all, probably the proximity to the house, to where we live. Drive time is about a minute and a half. We've been driving by it for about a year, and we said, we need to visit there, and here we are.
So the location started at But when we got here, we kept coming back. The people, the church itself, the
friendliness.
That everybody spoke to us, they were friendly, they were interested. As we attended Bible study, I was very impressed with not just studying the Bible, but how close everybody was and how they looked after their shut-ins and had their prayer list going and checked in on everybody and how they wanted this church to contribute to the community, from snack baskets for the fire department to making sure the flowers were here to welcoming new members and sharing information about everybody. It just felt like home.
It was very welcoming. They came a couple of times before I did, and then I started showing up. They act like everyone act like we'd been here forever. They knew my name because they had been here a couple times before, and you know, introduced themselves. Hey, Lyle, I'm so and so, and yeah, everybody was just friendly, welcoming from the get go. Act like they'd been your friend for a long time and known you and your family forever. The times when one or some of us were out of town and somebody else was here, they'd ask, well, how are your mom and dad doing? How's their travel? When are they coming back? So there was community from the get-go.
Good.
I feel definitely we have received it here, and it's put out so it's understandable. And I like the fact that they were referenced back to the Old Testament and tied into the New Testament, the history of it. And I'm just haven't seen a whole lot of that in the past, but I have here, and I really like it.
It's been really good that everything goes back to the Word, and you feel that, and the preaching, and not just the preaching, but also Wednesday nights when we talk about the Baptist faith and message. And going through that one step at a time, finding the Bible verses that relate to it and walking through that and talking through it has been extremely helpful. And I think it's extremely important at any church that is what happens, that the messages come from the Word and there's not a ton of extraneous to it. Like, it's, if there's a question, well, let's go back to the Word, and maybe it's not in the section we're talking about today, but let's find it and look it up, and we'll talk about it again next Wednesday or something like that. And I feel like we're always in the learning process and always going back to the Word to learn those lessons and to better understand them as we move along.
I grew up in the church. We were at church every time the church doors were open. And I was in training union, Sunday school, GAs, Bible study, from a child to the youth as a teenager. And even in the sermons and in the Wednesday night studies and even in the Sunday Bible classes, there were things and perspectives that either I didn't remember or weren't fully explained, and it's been very refreshing to see that and hear that when I thought I knew and I'm still learning stuff. So it's been a wonderful experience.
Come visit.
Come visit and you'll want to stay.
Don't be shy. Open up. be a part of the community, a part of the church, and that's how you're going to find out if this is your church home or not. Not just staying in the background, you don't get the full experience of coming to Waleska First Baptist.
So I hope y'all enjoyed those videos just as much as I did. I really did enjoy getting a glimpse into the minds of our members and seeing what they loved about Waleska First Baptist. So I loved Lyle's last line, don't open up, don't be shy, or else you're not going to get the true Waleska First Baptist experience. And that's us in a nutshell, guys. We are a relational church. And if somebody's not willing to open up, they're not going to fit in well with us. So, but I absolutely love that because it is a true principle. Whenever you come visit here, you're going to be swarmed by people. And so that's just who we are as Waleska First Baptist. So now that we have looked at some of these videos and what the people of our church think, now we get to the opportunity where I get to share with you and encourage you as the pastor or a pastor here at Waleska First Baptist, right here and right now. So we're going to be looking for the time we have left at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. So you can go ahead and be turning to there in your Bible. I am going to clarify something real quick in the worship guide. It says I'm in the NASB. I don't know why I told Nina I was in the NASB, because I'm not. I don't think I've ever preached out of the NASB, but the versions we will be using, if you're following along, is either going to be the Net Bible or the ESV. Those are the two that we're going to be going back and forth between, but I just wanted to clarify that I'm not in the NASB. But we're going to go ahead and get starting with that. As I began looking for what passage I wanted to preach out of this morning, there was a lot of passages that came to mind, but I kept coming back to the book of Philippians. I read part of the book of Philippians a little over 2 months ago and kind of got sidetracked and jumped to another book of the Bible halfway through, like many of us do. But every time I think of the scripture or the word over the last several months, Philippians has been right there in the forefront of my thoughts. And so as I was preparing for this morning, I thought maybe I needed to go look at Philippians one more time. God keeps bringing it to my attention, so maybe I need to just go look at it. And so Philippians chapter 1 is where we fell for this morning, and I truly believe that God has been working on this sermon since I read that passage 2 months ago. So we're going to go ahead and start reading. If you're with me, this is out of the NET translation in verse 3. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. I always pray with joy in my every prayer for all of you. Because of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am sure of this very thing, the one who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. There's three things I want to pull out of this passage real quick. I know lunch is getting warm. Three things that I want us to see out of this passage this morning. The first of which is we're called by Paul and by Christ to pray for one another. But the first thing that I noticed as I jumped into this passage was literally two words into it. There was a phrase that Paul used. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And so at the beginning, we see Paul use this language, and it drew my attention because it's a very personal way of thinking about God. He doesn't say, I thank God. Or something along those lines. Instead, he uses the word, my God. This adds a whole different layer to the relationship we see between Paul and Christ. His relationship with the Lord was one that was personal. It was intimate. God was not at a distance for Paul. Paul walked with the Lord with the assurance and the intimacy of knowing that he was a child of God. We see this in other passages throughout Scripture. Just one that came to my mind was 2 Timothy 1:12. And Paul says in this passage, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day that has been entrusted to me. The word here in this passage is whom. In this passage, when he says the word whom, Paul did not just know the doctrine of his teacher. He didn't know just know the lessons of what he had taught him. He knew the person of God. He knew who God was. He walked with the Lord so closely that he knew the person of God and not just simply his teachings. But does that mean Paul did not love God's teaching? Does that mean he was just focused on the person of God? Absolutely not. He loved what the Lord loved. When you spend a lot of time with someone, you start to believe what they believe and be passionate for the things that they are passionate for. Paul was just like that. He became passionate about what the Lord was passionate about, which was this gospel being spread to the ends of the earth. We see in Romans 2:16 that Paul had the same intimate language in regards to the gospel as well. He uses the language, my gospel. Verse 16 says, on that day, according to my gospel, God judges the secret of men by Jesus Christ. The reason that Paul was able to speak like this was because he walked with the Lord in a way that there was no hidden, unconfessed sins between him and the Lord. None. There was a clean slate between him and his heavenly Father. Hidden, unconfessed sins are things that put separation between us and God in our walk with him. It is when we confess our sins and walk in the light of our Savior that we are able to feel close enough to our Heavenly Father to say, my God, my gospel, to know the person of who God is. Maybe today you are hesitant to make those claims. Maybe you're hesitant to make the statements that Paul did. Maybe you're held back. Well, I would encourage you today, don't walk with any hidden sins that push you away from your Heavenly Father. Don't allow those to push you away from walking alongside the Savior that died on the cross for your sins. Jesus has not moved. I want to make that very clear. We are the ones that have moved away from Him. Those sins have separated us from Him. So this morning I want to encourage you, if you are separated, if you are walking away from the Lord, draw close to Him once again this morning. Maybe this morning you were saying, Trey, this is a great thought, but it's never going to work for me. God will never forgive me for what I've done. I've walked too far away from Him. Well, let me encourage you with this thought. Paul, who we're talking about right here, was a persecutor of the church. He killed Christians for a living. And he got to a point where in his relationship with the Lord, he could call him my God, my gospel. He had a personal relationship with God. Another example is Ruth, who was able to call Naomi's God, my God. It's a surrounding, these two stories surround in our testimony of the love, the mercy, and the grace that our Father has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. It doesn't matter how far away you are, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and when you accept him, he's waiting with open arms for you to run back into him. So remember, God has not moved. We are the ones that have moved away from him. So let's realize that God is a personal God. He's not just some random teachings that we learned in Sunday school, but he wants a relationship with you today. We discussed a few minutes ago that Paul was focused on praying for people. That was the first thing we wanted to pull out. He was praying for the church at Philippi every time that he thought of them, he says in this passage. But I love what he says at the end of verse 4. He says, I always pray with joy in every prayer for you all. When Paul prays for these people, it is not out of obligation. It is not an obligation prayer. It's truly out of joy for the ability to pray for him. How many times do we as believers say prayers for people out of obligation? They're on our prayer list. They ask for prayer. I'm a Christian. I got to pray for them. Probably more times than we care to admit. When was the last time that you decided to pray for someone because it brought joy to your heart? How would our lives change if we found joy in praying for others and not praying for them out of a sense of obligation? I'll tell you one thing this morning. When we pray, we're talking to the Lord and Savior that created the universe and sent his one and only son to die on the cross for our sins. If anything brings us joy, that should. So I don't have time to go into this. We've already briefly discussed it. But church cannot be a checklist item for us on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. We have to get back to enjoying doing ministry with each other. So where did the joy go? We need to put joy back into the churches. And don't let our prayer life become an obligation. We need to find joy to begin with in our prayer life, because we do that even when we're at home by ourselves. And the second thing I have for us is rejoicing in the partnership of the gospel. It comes from verse 5. He says, so this is why he's praying for them. He says, because of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. This is why he's rejoicing in his prayers for them. It is interesting, I thought, that the different translations use different words within Scripture. Mean the similar thing, but it gives different images. The NET translation here uses the word participation in the gospel, whereas the ESV uses the word partnership in the gospel. And I love the use of the word partnership because it gives us a different perspective, a different image of what we are doing. Participation gives us the thought of simple support. We're supporting Paul in his ministry. But partnership has a commitment level. It has a long suffering that's involved with that. So Paul says that he's praying for the church at Philippi because of their partnership in the gospel from that first day until now. The New Living Translation paraphrases it in a little bit different sense, and it says, because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. Many scholars here have thought and went back and forth about how this partnership here probably was primarily financial. Mostly because they were sending money to Paul. That is why he's praising them for their partnership with him. This morning, very quickly, I want to give you four reasons from the book of Philippians why that's not the case. And why these believers at Philippi truly were partnering with Christ, with Paul in the advance of the gospel within their community. There's four reasons. The first is they're giving. They were giving money. They were financially supporting him. We see it in Philippians 4, 14 through 16, when it says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves, know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except only you. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help when I needed it once again. The second thing is praying. They prayed for Paul. We see it in Philippians 1:19. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. The third thing, suffering. All believers are going to suffer, and these believers were no different. We see it in Philippians 1:29-30. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. And last but not least, witnessing. It's definitely not the last thing on the list, but witnessing was a major part of the partnership these believers had with Paul. And we see it in Philippians 3. It says, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose name are in the book of life. I hope this brief overlook helps you understand that Paul does not mean simply financial partners when he mentions the partnership in the gospel in this passage. It is not just financial, but there's a commitment of this church, and it's evident through their prayers, their suffering, and their witnessing with Paul in the partnership of the gospel. Spurgeon had a quote that I thought was very appropriate for this idea of partnership and partnering in the gospel. And he said this, the apostle longed to spread the gospel. So did they. He was earnest and to carry it to the regions beyond. So were they. If he preached, they would be there to encourage him. If he held special meetings, they were ready to help. If money was required, every man was ready, according to his means, without pressing. Each one felt as earnest about the work as his minister. They were enthusiastic for the furtherance of the gospel. They were heartily with him where he most valued their sympathy. Church, I want you to look back here. I picked this slide for a reason. We have been partners in the gospel here in Waleska for 90 years. We have diligently poured into this community to see Christ's kingdom advanced within this community. And the last and final thing that I have for you this morning is in verse 6. And it's an encouragement and a challenge all in one. He is going to complete what he has started within you. Verse 6 reads, "For I am sure of this very thing, that the one who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Church, I want to end our time together with an encouragement from this passage as well as a challenge to you. It comes straight out of this verse. Church, the scripture, as well as the Apostle Paul, says that Christ, who started a good work in you, will continue to perfect it until Christ returns. Christ clearly started something right here in this community in 1934 when Waleska First Baptist was chartered. He clearly has continued to bless us through the work of this church over the last 90 years. But here's the challenge. God is going to continue to work through Waleska First Baptist Church. But church, we have work to do as well. We cannot sit around within our church and wait for the community to change around us. People are flocking to this area more than ever, and they need a godly, Christ-centered, scripture-preaching church within their community. And I want that church to be Waleska First Baptist and continue to be Waleska First Baptist for another 90 years. But we cannot wait for a miracle to happen in the community around us. We have work that needs to be done. Have you ever heard the saying that it's easier to turn a cruise ship when it has momentum? Think about it. If you have a cruise ship sitting still and you've got to make a turn, it normally involves tugboats and a lot of other things to get it to move. It's a big ship. But once you get that ship moving, if the captain decides it wants to make a turn, he just twists that steering wheel or rudder, whatever it's got, and it clearly glides away. And there's no effort to make it move. Church is the same way with a church. If we're sitting still, when God decides to move, it's a lot harder for us to get to where he wants us to go. But if we have momentum, moving in the direction that we feel God's leading us to, when God opens a door, all we have to do is turn that steering wheel, and we are clearly and easily gliding through that door. So church, we got to have momentum. Let's not be a church that just sits still, waiting on the Lord to steer us, waiting on that tugboat to push us around. We need to get this boat moving. We need momentum so that when God opens that door, we are ready to step through it. This morning, we are celebrating an amazing accomplishment of being in ministry to the same community for 90 years. I cannot overstate how big this is for this church. Churches nowadays don't reach 90 years. But I also encourage you this morning, let's celebrate 90 years. Let's celebrate it really well today. But let's not hang our hats on it too long. Because if we hang our hats on it too long, we're not going to have that momentum to go another 90 years. So we need to get this church moving, we need to get some momentum, and wait for God to open the next door for us. If you'll bow your heads, we're going to close in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we come before you right now. We thank you for the time of studying your word. Father, the amazing, wonderful time of testimony and encouragement that we had with the videos. Lord, I pray that as we celebrate 90 years of ministry to this community, Father, that you would allow us to truly enjoy a time of fellowship around the table, Father, remembering, telling stories of everything that you've done. But Father, Lord, I ask that you would prepare us, Father, that tomorrow morning we're back up, ready to go. Father, we're doing your work, learning to do your work, and learning to enjoy every single minute of it, Father, that we might be able to be, continue to be, Father, the Christ-centered, gospel-preaching church that this community needs. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Just sing with us. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus as we continue his work.
sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
If you can, let's stand as we sing this one other verse.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Well, once again, I wanted to thank each and every one of you for joining us on this amazing 90th homecoming service. I hope you enjoyed your time in worship this morning with our Heavenly Father. The festivities aren't over. There's an amazing meal prepared for each and every one of you in the fellowship hall. The ladies have done an amazing job decorating and cooking. If it's your first time here, you don't want to miss it, I promise. They do a phenomenal job. So I'm going to pray over the meal, and then you're going to go out these back doors, take a left down the hallway, and you're going to run straight into the fellowship hall. And that's where the food's going to be. Just enjoy some time of fellowship with your friends and family around the table. So let's pray, and then we're going to go eat. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we come before you today, Father, thanking you for the chance to celebrate what you've done in this church. Father, Lord, we ask that as we move to the fellowship around the table, Father, Lord, bless the time of fellowship. Bless the time of telling stories and remembering what you've done and celebrating the 90 years of ministry to this amazing and wonderful community. Father, Lord, we thank you for the ladies and the men that have prepared the food today. Lord, bless them. Lord, bless this food to nourish for our bodies and our bodies for your service. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.